Aloha mai kakou. This is John Tilton, Senior Pastor of New Hope Oahu. In a moment, a message from our founding pastor, Wayne Cordero, on Words of New Hope.
There's a Bedouin group of people in the desert called the Tartar people. You know what their strongest curse is towards somebody? They say to you, "May you stay in one place the rest of your life." You know what they're saying? Right now, may you never change anymore the rest of your life. That's why I hate it when someone who hasn't seen me for like 5 years will shake my hand and they say, "Wade, you haven't changed a bit." Shut up, I'll punch you.
Aloha and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Today, part two of a message entitled Increasing Your Future. Pastor Wayne will show us that God sees us not so much as how we are, but as what we can become. And guess what? He knows that there is no limit to what you can become as you place your trust in Him. Here is Pastor Wayne with the conclusion of the message, Increasing Your Future.
He hid the great-great-great-grandmother of one of the world's greatest kings, David. He hid that grandmother in a prostitute named Rahab the harlot. Do you know that? In the cross, he hid victory in defeat. You see, God loves to hide great accomplishments in the most inconspicuous wrapping. So don't look at yourself in the mirror and say, "Oh." No, because in you, I wonder what God has hidden you.
"Yeah, but I'm from Waianae. I'm from Nanakuli." Hey, listen, I'm from Palolo. You know, it don't matter. No.
I tell you, it does not matter. God can do what, if you just increase your expectation of what God can do. A lot of us don't expect God to do much. We don't expect God to heal. We don't expect God to use us for His kingdom or eternal purposes. And so that's all you give Him to work in. But if I say, no, God can do great things in me and I'm open to that, I'm going to cooperate and I'm going to partner with Him. I'm expecting Him to do great things this year. Can you understand how you've just increased your future? That's called faith. And the Bible says, "As is thy faith, so shall it be done to you." You see, it's never too late to dream. But not only new dreams God's going to put in your heart. Would you write down, not just new, but renewed dreams. Renewed dreams are some of the best dreams of all. Those are the dreams that God put in you long ago and you gave up on. And in 2005, we're going to change that. Not just new dreams, renewed, because sometimes we just want new stuff. God says, no, let me renew your heart for your family. Renew your dreams for your marriage. Renew your dreams for what I've called you to be long ago and you bailed out on. Get back in the game. What does God need to restore? Your love for people, your love for your work, your family, your spouse, your ministry, your God. The Lord calls it your first love. And that is a tremendous dream because that's the fuel that sparks vibrancy. Let's read what it says in Revelation 2. Go. "You have left your first love. Therefore, remember from where you have fallen and repent and do the deeds you did at..." Yeah, get back in the game. A lot of us have dropped out of the game. Said, "Get back in." "Yeah, but I messed up." Get back in. It was in 1929. California was playing Georgia Tech in the Rose Bowl. And the opposing team had the ball. They fumbled it. A guy named Roy Regals from the other team grabbed it. But in the midst of the shuffle, and he got beat around and turned around, he picks up the ball from this fumble. He recovered a fumble from the other team, and he starts running, running. The only problem is he, in all the confusion, is running the wrong way. He's running the same way the opposing team was. So the opposing team, yeah. Everyone on the sideline saying, "Wrong way, Regals," which became his name from then on. I think they called him Wrong Way Regals. The coach is saying, "Turn around." His own teammate, a guy named Benny Lum, chases him down, tackles him right between the 3 and the 2 yard line before he scores a goal for the other team. This happens right before halftime. He is so embarrassed, so ashamed. They go into the locker room and he's sitting there with his face in his hands. Coach Nibbs Price says nothing the whole half, the whole halftime. They just sit in silence, the whole team. 2 minutes, they said, 2 minutes, back out on the field. Coach Nibs Price says, all right, man, you know what you got to do. By the way, the same team that came out goes back in. Got it? Go. And they all run out. Well, Regals was one of them. But he stays there motionless. Coach Nibs Price says, Regals, I said the same team that came out goes back in. That's you. He said, Coach, I can't. I've embarrassed our team. I've embarrassed our college. I can't go out before the fans. He said, Regals, the game is only half over. It ain't over yet. Don't make that conclusion till the game's done. Until then, get back in the game. Really, Coach? Yeah, you go. Show them what you can do. After the game was done, the opposing team said they had never seen anyone play so ferociously, with so much spirit and so much motivation and so much purpose as they did that day in Roy Regals. And I think about that and I think, wow, what a player. But then I pause and I think, what a coach. What a coach. And in the same way, only a million times more, we play for a coach like that. A coach that says, Wayne, only half over. Yeah, but I messed. Get back in the game. I'm going to give you not a new dream, a renewed dream. I'm going to renew your heart, renew your motivation, renew your fuel, because some of the best dreams in the world are the dreams we bailed out on. And God is saying, I want you to get back in the game. I want you to finish well. Don't settle for good enough. Don't settle for status quo. Get back in the game. What is it that God has said to you that you need to renew? For some of you, it may have to do with your family, your education, getting back in shape, whatever it might be, getting your finances in order, getting out of debt. And you know the Lord's spoken to us, but we've kind of dropped it after a while because we couldn't quite make it. And the Lord is saying, can I renew a dream in you? And I will help you because that's a part of who I want you to be. Well, what do we do first? What's our first start on this whole thing? What do we do? Not what you do, it's what you cut out. What? Yeah. You see, there's certain things we got to do to make room for God. And that's not adding, it's pruning. Our part, would you write in number two? The first step is prune and shape your life to His best. Prune and shape your life. Make room for God. Make room. What are some of the things that I need to cut out in order that I might become the person that God wants me to be? Well, it might be some physical things like excessive television or excessive entertainment or movies or whatever it might be. Or it could be cutting out stuff like attitudes and perspectives that I've been tolerating for far too long. A resentment against, blaming other people, using excuses, saying I'm too busy, don't have time, no margins. What is it that I have to stop tolerating in order that I might become what God wants me to be and designed me to be in the beginning? Because if I keep those excuses and blame games, I will never have the room to become what God's called me to be. I've got to cut out all the stuff that's not what God wants me to be. What are some of those things? Because sometimes we think, oh, I can't do anymore. No, God's not asking you to do more. He's asking you to cut out some things so that you can be more. Some of the things that's taken up my time. Instead of saying, Lord, I want to sit down and do devotions. We say, oh, I don't have time. Oh, you should see. Oh, I can't get up that early. One morning, Aaron was late for devotions with me and my son, you know, and so I said to Aaron, you have to learn to get up early. He said, Dad, I don't know how you do it. What's the secret of getting up early? I said, easy. Go to bed sooner. Yeah, but I was at the movies. Ah, ha, 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 grasshopper, cut out the movie. He said, Dad, it was a good movie. I said, I bet $1,000 that if you didn't see that movie, it wouldn't have really hurt your life. It wouldn't have destroyed your future. I bet if you didn't see that movie, you won't die or have a disease or anything. I bet. What do you think?
Yeah, well.
Okay. But I bet if you stop doing devotions, it will hurt you. It will destroy your life. It will cause you to make foolish decisions because you don't have the wisdom of God within you. Now choose. You see, a lot of it has to do with decisions we make. Can I encourage you to keep making wise decisions? Even though you mess up, Don't give up. 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 Even though you don't. Very good. Yeah, you see, and we've got to keep making good decisions. You see, good decision making is like a muscle. The more you use it, the better it becomes. And sometimes we don't want to make decisions for fear of failure, so we don't make decisions. And you know what happens? You become a very poor decision maker. And it works against you because you don't make good decisions very often. When you do, you see that you made a mistake, so you stop making them even the more. But you keep making decisions. When you mess up, don't. And you keep going because it's like a muscle. Pretty soon you start making much better decisions, wiser decisions. Your life follows suit and you start to win. And this begins to increase your future. So constantly be thinking, what can I prune out? Let's read what Hebrews 12:1 says. Go. Let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Some of the ways you speak, not using self-control, kind of letting it just out, and then thinking, oh, I shouldn't have said that. Prune that out. I'm just not going to say those things anymore. I'm not going to let my emotions or my anger or my angst or my tiredness control my destiny anymore. That's it. And I'm going to prune that out of my life and make room for me to grow beyond that. The story is told of the man that was sculpting the Lincoln Memorial out of a huge piece of granite. Then that cleaning lady would clean it up, all the chips every day. Day after day and week after week and month after month, till finally the day after it was polished came for its inaugural unveiling. She was invited, this little cleaning lady, amongst all these dignitaries. And when the velvet veil was lifted, everyone went, oh, ooh, and they passed out champagne. Then when they finally left, it was the sculptor and the cleaning lady, and she was staring at this thing. And he said, well, what do you think? She said, I just have one question. What's that? He said, she said, how did you know Mr. Lincoln was in that rock? He said, well, I kind of imagined him in that rock. Really? And then you sculptured him. Well, he said, no, I didn't really sculpture him because he was already in there. He's playing with her. Well, she said, yes, you sculptured him. Look, there he is. He said, no. She said, well, what did you do? How'd you get him out? He said, I just took away everything that wasn't Mr. Lincoln. And you see, God imagined you. And one of the first steps is he wants to get rid of all the barnacles and the things that the world has collected onto you. Wrong expectations, wrong perspectives. And the Lord is saying, what do you need to prune so that you can be shaped to my very best? What are some of the things? A quickness to judge. That'll hinder your future. That'll hinder your people relationships. A tendency to gossip or to whine or to grumble so quickly. To be selfish, whatever it might be. To be unreleasing and refusing to give. Keeping everything you get rather than being a flow through where you receive and you give. Because in a river, that's what causes life to take place and schools of fish. But when you keep everything you get, you're called a cul-de-sac or you're called a swamp. And everything there begins to die. Certain things. What do I need to cut out of my thinking so I can match it more to the Bible? What do I need to cut out? That's the first step, to begin to prune. Because remember, the secret of fruitfulness is not adding more. It's what? It's pruning correctly. And then fruitfulness comes. Shape me to your image, oh God. Shape me. What do I need to stop and do without so that I might become all you created me to be? There's no greater prize. But then what? Would you write down number three? Now take steps of action. You've got to take steps of action. Here's some of the most beautiful three words in the English language. Here it is. Do it today. Yeah, do it now. Get it done. Do something. Got to take action. No, just not just think about it. Do something. Let's read what 1 Corinthians 9 says. Go. Run in such a way that you win. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not just beating the air. Yeah, he's going to do something concrete. Like what? Would you write in your first bullet? Plan and make room for it. Plan and make room for it. Which means if there's certain things I've got to do, like the Lord is talking to me about my conditioning or my weight or my health or whatever, I start planning for it. If it's about my marriage, I actually go into my calendar and write down. I look for days that are open in the evenings and I'll say, dinner with Anna. Dinner with Anna. Turn next week. Dinner with Anna. I just write them in so that when someone says, hey, can you do something on that night? Oh, no, cannot. Got something important? Very important. Because see, the second thing is, would you write down that bullet? Write it down. Write it down. Don't just put it in your mind. Write it down. Plan for it. Make room for it. I actually go through my calendar and put down workout. Go to the gym. Workout. Again. Workout. More. And I just write them in so that when it comes down, someone says, hey, can we meet at 3:30? Ugh, I already got something planned. Can't you cut it out? You know, I have been for so long. That's why I am where I am. So I can't do that anymore. And all you do is just cut certain things out that you might become what he's placed in your heart to be. Not only physical things, but spiritual things. I will write, in fact, listen to this. There are five things the Lord was speaking to me about doing every day, and one was devotions. And then another was praying, and another was exercise, and another was reading something. Well, you know, those were everyday stuff. So you know what I did? I actually went down to a stamp maker and had to make those things in a stamp and a little checkbox, a little box next to each of those, and he made a stamp. So now I get on my calendar and I just go boom. Boom, 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 boom. Really? And I did that for 5 years till I got it into my head. It takes me a while. And I got into my head. Now it's automatic. But for 5 years, then I would actually check off those boxes. Because you see, not only do you write it down, would you write in your last bullet, check yourself. Check yourself. You know why it's so important?
Well, you're kind of a hyper-disciplined dude.
No, I'm not. That's why I have to do it. I'll tell you why I do it. Because there's no greater prize in all the world than to become all that God imagined me to be. Not 20%, not 30. My goal is to become all he imagined me to be. And that's what causes you to change. There's a Bedouin group of people in the desert called the Tartar people. And not like tartar sauce, this is just tartar people. And their strongest curse, you know, like we would cuss or swear, not us, but you know, other people, but their strongest curse is not a swear word. You know what their strongest curse is towards somebody? It's this. They say to you, may you stay in one place the rest of your life. That's their greatest curse. You know what they're saying? Right now, may you never change anymore the rest of your life. Stay right where you are. It's almost as if they understand the principle of God. So they're saying, you're at 30% of what you could be, stay that way. That's the curse. You see, God's Spirit is working within us to change us from glory to into His. Oh, what image? What He imagined me to be in the beginning. So who's helping me? The Spirit of God is actually prompting me, revealing it to me by His Spirit, because God knows the greatest prize is not what you get at a Christmas party, at a company party. The greatest prize is to become all that He imagined you to be. There's no greater prize. And the Tartar people are saying, may you stay in one place the rest of your life. That's why I hate it when someone who hasn't seen me for like 5 years will shake my hand and they say, wait, you haven't changed a bit. Shut up, I'll punch you. Well, you say, well, but how do you change? I mean, there's so much more. Mm-hmm. Keep making good decisions. Yeah, but it might take a long time. Mm-hmm. Just for me to get those five things in my head and into my being, into the texture of my character, it took me 5 years of punching that stamp. I still have the stamp in my desk. I had it made because I want to become all that he imagined me to be. And little by little, it gets better and better. Let me finish with a story of this prince whose father, the king, was getting old. This prince was a very good prince. He wanted to represent his people well, but the only problem was he was hunched back a little bit. And he felt so embarrassed to represent his nation among all the other distinguished guests at different convocations and gatherings as a hunchback king. Well, one day his father did die and he got the crown. He thought, oh, I just want to represent my people well. Well, he had a sculptor make a brass sculpture of himself, life size, but not hunched over, straight and tall, with his hands out like this. And he said, I'd like you to put that right in the courtyard of the palace. And all of the servants thought, wow, that's kind of strange. But when he finally did, every morning early, the new king would get up and go down to the courtyard and stand back to back with that statue. And he'd press his back up against it and extend his arms. And he would hold it as much as he could for 10, 15, 20 minutes. And then he would put his silken shirt back on and go back into the palace and do what a king should do during the day. And the next morning, early, he would go down in the courtyard and take off his silken shirt and press his back up against that statue and lift his hands and hold it there 20, 25 minutes this time, 30 minutes. And then he'd put his silk shirt back on and he'd do what kings usually do. He did this day after day, week after week, month after month. It was almost 2 years of doing this every day, where one early morning, that young king pressed his back up against that statue, and for the first time, he felt the cold of the brass on the top of his back, and he held it up. And at that point, he knew that he could walk upright and represent his people well. Now, that's just a story, but it holds a wonderful lesson, and that is this. There's times you think, I'll never get there, but I wonder what God has hid in you. I wonder, and here's the cool thing, what God has hidden in this church. A church that doesn't own a nice big facility, a church that doesn't have grandiose parking. Oh, Lord, help us. A church filled with brand new believers that are ragged in their relationship but genuine in their hearts. I wonder what God has hid in this church. I'm excited to find out. Are you? Let's be a part of that as we press on towards his high calling. No greater prize. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's do it. Would you bow your heads with me as we pray? Heavenly Father, thank you so much for hiding within us your greatest imagination, what you imaged or imagined for us to be. Now, Lord, our part, yours is to put the dream in our heart, the potential for that to come to pass. Great families. Oh, so many different levels of strata. Some will be in a judge's seat. Some will be in pastors or minister's seats. Some will be coaches and businessmen and lawyers and doctors, teachers. So many, Lord, be janitors, facility people, landscapers. Everyone stands shoulder to shoulder at the cross is valuable. The reason is because, Lord, you need your people in every strata of life. And it's not a hierarchical strata. It is equally important. But Lord, help us to become all that you created us to be. So that means we're going to need to keep reaching for your best. Help us to get back into the game when we're ready to drop out. And at the beginning of this new season, help us to continue reaching, because there's no greater prize no greater prize than to become all you imagined us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You have just heard the conclusion of the message entitled Increasing Your Future by Pastor Wayne Cordero. Thank you for joining us for Words of New Hope. Until the same time, next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you a great day in the Lord and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.